Right. I'm not sure if there's anything more that you need to know. What can I say? I studied to be a librarian and haven't ever done it. But I am a bit bookish when I'm not being outdoors, and it kind of shows in the work, which often involves relationships to other texts. A professor in Vancouver said I collaborate with my reading, which is a very tactful, polite, erudite, scholarly, and non-libelous way of saying I steal stuff wholesale. So, and I'm also interested in, as a hopeless linguist, in translation. And I enjoy translation more when it's done badly or when I'm too lazy to do it myself and I get machines to do it. So I'm going to start with a little suite of poems, and I think I'll grasp quite quickly the rationale for them. French poem. I will emerge and go now, and go in Innisfree, and a small construction of fuselage there, de clay and of the acacias made. Last nine bean lines won't have me there, a hive for bee with honey, and a phase only in bee-strong clearing. And Je will have their peace, because peace comes slow for, being dropped from the veils of the morning with where the crickets sing. Their midnights are a whole wavering gleam, and midday a gleam crimson, and evening completely of the linnet, wings off. I will emerge and go now, for always the night and the day. Hear the covering of low water of lake with no noises by the shore, while I am held on the roadway or the grey of pavements. I hear in the half deep core of. German poem. I develop and go now and go through the street, and the small building of cabs there, the loam and the branches in an educated manner. Stake nine bean rows there, a bean shock for the honeybee, and phases have me alone in bee sounds clearing. And I have something peace there, because peace comes falling slowly and drops of the veil of the morning on where that seems cricket. There midnight all's aglow, and noon a magenta red glowing, and evening fully the linnet's wing. I result and strive to night and day on. I hear seawater lapping with low tones now, always from the bank. While I stand on the lane, or on the place on the squall, I hear it in the deep heart. Italian poem. Now I will introduce and go, and I go to Innisfree, and a small configuration of the shack here, clay and the made acacias. To nine they won't have it here, fagiolo rose, a stream bed for la melifica bee, and intention alone in glade the bee hard. And I will have sure peace here, since the peace comes slow falling veiling of the pain to where the cricket sings. Here midnight's all a dim light, and noon incandescent viola, and evening in full load of a minute it tells of. Now I will introduce and go, in order, always the night and the day. I feel the winding dell water of the lake with the low sounds from the support. While I am raised in feet on the track or the grey of the sidewalks, I feel it in the heart deep the centre of. Spanish poem. Now I will appear and go, and I go to Innisfree, and the small structure of the cabin there, the clay and the revetments of slopes did. Nine bean rows want me to have there, a beehive for the bee, and alive only in the clearly bee-noisy one. And I will have certain peace there, because La Paz comes so full, falling of the veils of the morning to where the cricket sings. Their midnights are all the tenuous light, and noon a brilliance purple, and behind schedule completely of linnet wings of. Now I will appear and go, for always the night and the day I hear lapping of the water of the lake with the low sounds next to the border, whereas I am placed in the way, or the grey of the pavements I hear, it in heart's deep bass of. Sorry, Bill. Right, the next batch are doing, I hope, a little less violence to Old Irish, which is a language that I studied for about 6 weeks in the summer of 1978 and haven't really looked at since. So my apologies to at least one person in the room who knows what's going on here. This is Three Ways of Looking at Blackbirds. So, bird, it is good for you there where in the thorns you nest, peregrine who rings no bell, sweet, soft, gentle is your song. Second blackbird. A bird in a willow calls, clear, bright cry, his beak fine, small, yellow-tipped, a skillful black lad placing twisty sounds, song-clad. And third blackbird. A small bird whose song's heard from beak's tip, billed yellow. Notes he'll throw by lock-like, blackbird's bow, filled yellow. And winter, after a 9th, 10th century anonymous poem. Tidings new, bellows dear, weather pours, winter's here. High cold wind, sun is low, barely there, sea tides grow. Reddens firm, twisted lies, each day now, Brent goose cries. Cold has caught all birds' wings, suffices ice, my tidings. I did the last of those for a reading I was supposed to do with an Irish poet in London, and one of those curious things that happened at poetry readings, we ended up throwing beer at one another and I didn't in fact read. And I remember thinking that this wasn't the best response to him from him, and there's a long tradition of satire in Ireland being able to raise welts and make people unable to hold high office, and I felt he ought to have been able to respond verbally rather than physical violence, which is why I threw a beer over him. anyway, so I thought I would go back and have another look at the Irish satire, and found the quote from that headline, Satire on Breastneck Eladine, and I have translated it relatively literally. There's a rather charming word which means dishes in Old Irish, and in Modern Irish means vinyl records. So I did make use of that. Lacking platters, vinyl or china, lacking those liquids on which men thrive, lacking a lair to hide in at dark, lacking recompense for his pigeon rhyming, so fair McSprocket. You'll have to get me very drunk before I tell you who he really is. A little more seriously. I was in correspondence with a friend who is a lot better at the Celtic languages than I am. His wife is much better at Welsh than I am, though I have a smattering of it. And he told me about Piers Ferreter, who to my chagrin I didn't really know about. He was one of the Anglo-Irish settler nobility in Kerry who went native and became more Irish than the people he was supposed to be in charge of, and was one of the rebels in the 1650s, and met with some Cromwellian soldiery under a flag of truce, whereupon they brought him off to a castle and were given to death without due process. But while he was there, he did write the traditional prison stanza, which is an astonishing thing in the Irish. The patterning of it is extraordinary. And the friend of mine who put me onto him described him as the westernmost exponent of international literary baroque, which is entirely reasonable. I've been to his castle, and the next parish over is Newfoundland, and really, you know, you can't get more western, and you certainly can't get more baroque. So this is a hopeless endeavour to get to something like the patterning of the original. The only other thing in English that I know that does it is Louis Zugowski. Here it is, Piers Ferreter's prison stanza. O blessings, Lord, condole, console in my marred wheel, in cold prison's hold I shall hardly see next dawn. The tip of a drop above, up on the high stone, will drip in my ear, I hear the wave at my heels. You don't need Davy O'Brien being rude about people being literate. With a certain amount of hubris, since there's somebody in the room who knew Owen Torish and I didn't, who speaks Irish and I don't, this is a stab at a little quatrain of his from his last book, 1981. The hindmost star, close to spent, bushes nest, snow-filled. A I spent a fair amount of time in Ireland and a fair amount of time in the other bits of Celtic periphery. My family background is Scots, Canadian, Welsh, Lithuanian, not English at all. So I got interested in edges, and I spent a lot of time in the Hebrides. And this is a rather charming folk song collected in the 30s in the Uists, or Uish, if you want to pronounce it properly. And it's rather charming, so this is a stab at it. Land of the sea bent, land of the barley, land where any kind of thing is plentiful. Far over there where the young men sing songs and drink their fill of beer. Should it happen that I happen to have just two suits of clothes and a pair of shoes, if I have a fare in my pocket, I'll set sail in haste for Uist. And this is a slightly less orthodox winter poem from the Welsh of the Book of Carmarthen. Pretty much the same vintage as the other one. And this is done pretty much along the lines of those Hamish Fulton poem text, art text that he does using text which is the same size, and you get four little words which describe something to do with the terrain, which is in a photograph behind the text. And he'd film walk over back in Ireland or Iceland or Japan or whatever and come back and produce this. And I was just taken by the concreteness of the vocabulary in the Welsh original. I got the guy off. So this is a woefully inaccurate translation of a guy of wind keen, hill cold, ford foul, lake iced, snow skin, thin deer, hard mire, rush rhyme, cold pool, reed bear, hard gale, bear tree, bray peak, snow edge, high wind, bird call. This is adapted from the 9th century original, which is called, which in English you almost translate it as In Praise of Tenby, the town in West Wales, where I've never been. And I was translating this for the reading that at the Satire Misadventure at, which was the launch edition of Poetry Wales, and I thought I should do a Welsh poem for this reading. So I set to do this the night before, and when I got to the end of it, realised that the online Welsh text that I was working from had only had missed out the last stanza. So I had to find a last stanza to finish the thing off, and I had no Welsh text available. But I did have a catalogue of Cy Twombly show. So if you listen carefully, you'll spot where it starts being In Praise of Tenby and starts becoming In Praise of Twombly. And as you'll also hear, this is a scrupulously accurate translation. In Praise of Tenby. I recognise a castle shouting at the sea. Tenby, tell her story now and win an ice cream. A great tumult of beards, reed horns by the estuary. The tide's surge loosens debris, castle surrendered to the Republic. I recognise a castle unyielding amid churning water, undoubtedly part of Britain. Babs Windsor built the boating lake. War bands hid behind the palisades, eagles tracking their pale foes fleeing in NASCAR races. Portraits have the collective tolls. I recognise a castle set above the ninth wave, walls mantled in ivy. Women in gilets run boat sails, unaccustomed to being niggardly. Dining rooms are open to non-residents, they make merry without reviling. I recognise a castle thronged with black birds. Songs ring out, bright, semi-breathed. The prince is a swift hewer, should any default on their taxes. A couplet of this stanza appears to be missing. I recognise a castle staffed by saddled riders, little thought of the chip shops. The choicest Delft in their antiquaries, colonic irrigation on offer. Enthusiasm could be broader. The waves fall, hum guffering. I recognise an artist looping abruptly, scattered, fringing a dreary sea. Holding a path, turning a corner, language unravels its line. Broken branches reflect light. The sea is sombre, yet fruitful. And just to close this food, which is a slightly more serious note, Carl Saran is one of a long line of honourable tradition of people writing poems about Ireland without having set foot here. Arto ditto. And this is a little poem of his called Eilish from his book Atom Vendor. The interesting thing about it, and I don't know where he got it from, is that he uses the technical vocabulary or digging peat for fuel, which is done in the Hebrides and parts of northern Scotland, as it is in Ireland. And I've actually done it in the Hebrides, using old tools, which still look at the things that you find in 11th century archaeological digs over here. And he uses the right technical vocabulary. He obviously knows how it's done, which is quite weird. I can't work out how somebody who spent their life living either in the borders of Romania or in Paris understood peat lifting. But anyway, I talked to people in the Hebrides and got the vocabulary right in English, so this is the only authentic translation of this poem, because everyone else gets the peat personal. So, Irish. Give me the rite of passage over the grain stair into your sleep. The rite of passage over the sleep track. The right that I may lift peats on the heart bank tomorrow. Thank you.